This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, it's our Brock and Salk's brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. 15 minutes from now, we'll give you a name for the winner of Pete Carroll Show tickets contest. That's coming up at 8:15. Of course, we'll give the name, and that person will have 5 minutes to call in. Meantime, Brock, talking a little Seahawks here. Just wondering whether people are buying what's been going on for the last couple of weeks, because I think you and I are, right? I mean, you and I have sort of jumped into this thing with 2 feet because of the run game, because of the physical play, because of their ability to hang with the Rams, and one of those moral victories that most of us don't like, but occasionally they do work, especially early in a season like this for a team that is young and sort of, you know, on the way up. And then all of a sudden you blow out the Raiders in London and everything just feels very real. The question is it? Is it real? And what does that do for the way you approach this team now for the remaining 10 games in the season?
Yeah. I think you're probably, if this is like a race, you're probably in first. Like you're running with this thing out on front of it. It's a positive guy that you are. You know, you typically see these things in a very much glass half full, while the rest of us are, you know, especially me, glass half empty and look at some of the things they're still not doing. But you, I think you are as out front as anybody in this market is. Very bullish because they've gotten back to their identity.
Yeah.
I mean, for you, that is the single most important thing. It always is. Like for you, it's culture and team build. It's why I think you really like that DePoto and service extension. I'm not bringing that up, you know, like in a negative way, but it's why, hey, look at what these guys have done, and they're building it, and the thing is going the right way. And I think you find yourself there. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I don't know about the little details. I don't know about rush yards per game. I don't know about that. But I know when you said you wanted to do this,
right?
Are you following through?
And
in that way, they certainly are.
Yeah, I guess the spot I find myself in is, you're right, all of that, yes. Yes, what does Pete say? Yes, 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 and yes, all of that. I mean, seriously, that's exactly
how I feel. Well, it's process results. It's your baseball mind. Right, honestly, I think to a degree, to some of you, you're just as much an NFL guy, but just it is that baseball, like there's a process. Don't just get lost in the little minutia. Look at the process of the results will come if the process is right. And the process was change the game, change who you are, get back to being a physical team if that's who you want to be.
Right.
Because you don't, they wanted to be.
And especially for someone like Pete Carroll, who's had the results before. Like that's the key, right? Do what it is that is one for you. Do what it is that you specifically want to do. You don't have to win in the NFL by being a physical team. You don't. I have no problems with the Saints throwing it all over the field or with the. I don't have no problems with that. Those are great ways to win, but that's not the way you said you wanted to win.
Yep.
You have to decide in your mind what your philosophy is, and then go actually try to do it. So where I'm at right now, Brock, and I'm curious where all you guys. We got one line still open: 206-421-3776. Essentially is, I feel really positive and hopeful now for the rest of the season. I think they're ahead of schedule, but I still don't have the level of pressure that I felt the last few years.
Yep.
I think that they are playing with some house money, which is great. That's what 2012 was like, right up until the end when I felt like they really blew their opportunity. But I think that there's an element of playing with some house money now, where, you know, there were people who thought they'd be 4-12, in all likelihood that's not going to happen. I think most people thought they'd be somewhere around 500. That's still a possibility. That's where they're at right now. But as Clayton would say, I think you can see over the last four games, they have not played 500 football. They have played something significantly better than
yes,
that.
And could have easily lost the Arizona game, but could have easily possibly won the Rams game. So that those two, kind of that pendulum swung both ways there, and then dominated Oakland and really handled Dallas for the majority of that game.
Yeah,
you know, and there's probably. There's probably four areas here that I'm looking at. It's at the quarter pole here, or actually beyond that, right? At 3-3, you're almost halfway through here. These numbers become a little bit more real. There's four areas, Mike. They're in the top 10 in this league, right? And you know that the more of these top 10s you find yourself in, and rush and pass and offense, defense, scoring.
Generally, Brock, you only need to put one of them there, and it's turnover differential.
Well, and that's where they are. They're number one in the league at +7.
That's a good idea.
So that is the only area that they're number one in the league is in turnover margin at +7. Scoring defense is their next highest. They find themselves fifth at just 19.5 points a game. I think that's directly tied to some of those takeaways. They're not giving the ball away. They're not giving short fields. They're fifth in scoring defense. They're sixth in total defense, and they're ninth in rushing offense. So if you're going to be a team that plays defense and runs the ball, What is the great equalizer if there's some weaknesses? Well, it's takeaways. But then if you're going to run the ball and play great defense, it's got to show up. And it is. Top 10 in the league. And that's even with two inept games out the chute
right.
where you weren't committed to it. So, yeah, I think their rushing yards the last 4 weeks would put themselves right near the very, very top of that number one overall.
All right, 206-421-3776. Start to grab some of your calls here, starting with Josh in Seattle. Josh, what's going on this morning?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to say that I'm bought in on the Seahawks, and I actually thought this all offseason when everyone was talking about, oh, it's going to be a rebuild, they're going to win four games, top five pick in the draft, you know, they're calling it in, and I didn't see that at all, and I'm actually pretty excited with what I've seen so far, and I could see them competing for a wild card spot down the road. I think the NFC is weak this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at Minnesota with Kirk, I think they're soft with Kirk and that defense. They go to home and get blown out by the Bills. I mean, what's that? And last week, the Packers against the Niners on Monday Night Football with C.J. Beathard, they're going to give up 30 points to C.J. Beathard at home. I mean, I think there's some serious holes in the NFC, and honestly, Chicago might be the biggest fight for that 5 or 6 spot, and they just lost to Miami. So I'm feeling pretty good about where the Seahawks are headed and their competition in the NFC.
Appreciate the phone call. Schedule-wise, Mike, do you look at these six games? Is there anything schedule-wise? Because I know a bunch of the folks on Twitter on the other side of it, and I know someone on the call is on the other side of this, will say, well, come on, look at the rush defenses they played.
Mm-hmm.
They played some of the weakest rush defenses. Denver's dead last in it. I think every other team is in the 20s, save for Chicago, as far as rush defenses. So they've capitalized in that way on matchups favorable. Just wait until they play somebody that can actually stop the run.
Are they going to play any of those teams?
Yeah, they'll see a Minnesota. You know, they'll see a Minnesota eventually. I don't have every team, but yes, eventually, if you've played six and five of them are in the bottom 20, that yeah, I think eventually you're going to play some that find themselves a whole lot better than what they faced.
I mean, I'm just kind of looking through where they're at. I mean, the teams they play still coming up, and not all of them are as good at stopping the run as you think. Green Bay's actually been decent at it, but their defense in general has been awful. Everybody's been throwing on them. The Chargers are 10th. In the league and stopping.
Where is Dallas?
Dallas was number one.
Okay, and they ran for 113 on them.
Right.
Yep.
Dallas is the best team in the league at stopping the run.
Yes. So
maybe I should go to yards. You want to go to yards per attempt?
No, that's fine.
Are you okay with just yards?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so yards per attempt. Dallas is number one. They ran all over them. Tennessee's 2, New England, the Giants, Baltimore, Carolina's 6, they're going to play them, Seattle 7, Green Bay's 8, they played Arizona, who's 9, didn't they run for 100 yards on Arizona too?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Chargers are 10, for all you talk about Minnesota, they're number 20,
huh.
Right? You talk about Detroit, who they're going to play next, they're number 18.
They actually ran for 171 on Arizona.
Right, I mean, like, you know, San Francisco's dead last in the league in this category, so, you know, look, man, I don't know that, you know, I'm not a schedule guy. I don't go game by game and look at the schedule and what's going to happen in this game because I think the NFL, I don't know that it always works that way.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at the way the Seahawks are playing. And they've played some good teams, some mediocre teams, kind of played a little bit of everything over the last few weeks.
Yep.
And they've played well. They've played like a team that is a 10-6, 11-5 kind of team. And they may have stuck you know, a little hole to dig out of with the way they started off the season. But they're playing like a 10-6 or maybe even 11-5 type of team over the last 4 weeks. That's what I think.
You have anybody on the other side of this?
I do. 206-421-3776. Grab Chuck, who's in Kennewick, although for some reason says Kennewick, and I kind of like the idea of Kennewick. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
Hey, I'm buying all in. I love the guys we got, replacing the veterans that have left. I think the Rams game is the biggest game to judge where we're at. I think people are overreacting on the Raiders game. We played a Raiders team that had nothing. They had no interest whatsoever to be in that game, be at that game, or be over in London. And honestly, I think Alabama could have beaten the Raiders that day.
Probably true. I mean, yeah, look, they were bad. They didn't want to be there. I would agree with all of that. But what does that say about the Seahawks?
Well, no, I'm all in. I think what they're doing right now is great. You know, like the first two games, like you guys have been saying, you know, what were they doing? They weren't playing the ball that they said they were going to play like they had the last four games. And the last four games, they looked great. But, you know, and for anybody who said they were only going to win four games, they were in another area code because I was saying at least 9, maybe 10 games.
Appreciate the phone call, man. It's
By the way, the last four games, I just did some quick math here. Yeah. I didn't even pull my phone out because I like long arithmetic. I like to, you know, feel like I can still do the stuff that Titus is doing right now.
Okay.
The last four games, they've averaged 157 on the ground. And that's against the number one defense in Dallas. That's obviously against a pretty inept one in Oakland and everything in between. 157. Number one in the league is actually the LA Rams at about 155 yards a game. So what they've done the last four would put them right atop this league in running the football.
Yeah.
Something they committed to, something they didn't just talk about, that actually over the last month with Fluke and Sweezy and that group that they found, and I think they will only be better when Dixon comes aboard, and then you can add him in still with the fans and the swoops and everything else you want to do. Darrell Daniels at that tight end position group. Yeah, they're acting on what they said they wanted to do.
What did you say it's been over the last few games?
The last four games, they've averaged 157 on the ground.
157 on the ground.
Yes, 113, 171, 190, 155.
I mean, nobody's close to that in the NFL.
Yeah, it's just the Rams, right? Aren't the Rams at a .154 on the season?
Rushing yards per game?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe something's going on with the stat that I'm looking at, because that does not. Okay. Let me keep digging through here, because that just doesn't seem quite right. Yeah, you're right. 154.3.
Yep.
Sorry, I was having some statistical issues.
Don't worry about it.
I got all that fixed. We got all that taken care of.
Glad you did.
Don't even sweat that. We're looking at 2016 for some reason.
Why?
I don't know why. It's a great question. Why did the ESPN stat thing go to 2016?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe it's the ghost. It's good an explanation as anything else. Isaiah's in Yakima. What's going on, Isaiah?
Not much. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I'm all in. I've been all in since the beginning of the offseason. I said 11-5 would be the record, and it looked to be on pace to do that this year.
11-5. You think they're still going to get to 11? They're not going to get to 11-5.
I do, Brock. You got to believe, Brock. Most of the teams, the Rams are susceptible to get beat, and they're probably going to slip up with their strength schedule coming up, because they're not built, I don't think, to play a first-place schedule like they were last year. They didn't set everything right. Everything fell for them. And most of the top-tier teams, as we see week in and week out, they struggle against lesser competition. And Seattle's thing, as long as they don't beat themselves, waste timeouts like drive salt crazy, they're going to be able to get there, I think.
8-2, Isaiah?
But
8-2 down the stretch?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, how many home games do we have in the back half?
Yeah.
They got a punch. And Brock, if running the ball is truly what they're trying to do, number of teams they play who are in the top 10 and stopping the run left
are
on their
2016
schedule.
Numbers,
this is 2018. Now I got this right. I screwed all this up before. Okay. They play one team who is in the top 10. That's Minnesota, who's number 9.
Of stopping the run.
Chargers are number 11. And then after that, like, you got San Francisco at 13. The Rams are 14.
So do I throw everything else out?
Green Bay is 19.
Where's Dallas this year right now?
Dallas is good.
They're not number one.
They're 7.
Like
they're number 7. I'm sorry. I was close. They're number 7. What is going on in there? Would you be quiet? I screwed up the darn stats. I was looking at 2016. I did a Google search, and the stupid thing
16,
took me to 2016.
Not even 17.
No, why would it give me 16?
Why are you looking at 2016, Saul?
I didn't know I was looking at 2016. It's like, these numbers don't look right. What's going on with this? Why are the Rams averaging 75 yards per game on the ground?
Isaiah peed.
What is the deal? Stupid Mike. All right, 206-421-3776. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I just gave everybody wrong information.
So, by the way,
should have just moved on.
By the way, looking at last year, if the Seahawks have run for .157 a game the last month, okay, the last four, that's been their number, would be number one. The Rams at 154 right now are number one. Who was the number one rushing team last season? Who was the team last season?
So I got to go to 2017.
No, I don't want you looking. I got it right in front of me.
Oh, in terms of running the ball or stopping.
Who said the heck with this league? We're going to have a fullback. We're going to have tight ends. We're going to run the ball. I don't care about our slappy quarterback. I'm bringing Tom Coughlin back in the fold, and we're going old school.
Well, that helped.
They ran for 141 a game.
Jacksonville.
141 led all the NFL last year. 135, Dallas was second at 135. You're running for almost 160 a game the last month of this season. Mm. That's a pretty statistically significant number. Will they do that all season? Are they going to run for 157 yards all season long? I don't know. Mm. But if they run it and their quarterback helps out on third downs and keeps plays alive and moves the chains, they've got an opportunity to do so.
All right, grab Brian in Bellevue. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. If Arizona makes that kick and we're 2-4, are you guys still prattling on with all this joy and optimism?
I don't know. If Russell Wilson doesn't fumble the ball on the drive against Denver and they come back to win that game, or are you prattling on with your negativism?
Yes. Yeah, I would battle to my dying breath with negative based on what I'm seeing with my eyes.
So you don't think they look good?
You guys?
You don't think so?
They're okay. They're a mediocre team in a mediocre conference. They might make the 6th seed. They might make the 5th seed. They might miss the playoffs, but. Just the fact that they're 3-3 and they've beaten the teams they've
hold
beaten.
Hold on a second, Beasy. Hold on. Mediocre and just a really blah team? I mean, when you're number one in the league in takeaways, you're not just a blah mediocre team. When you're in the top, you know, 5 running the football, you're not just a blah team. You're number 6 in rush defense or scoring defense and number 5 in scoring defense, number 6 in rush defense through 6 games. You're not just a mediocre blah team, are you?
It's a pretty small sample size. I mean, I guess I can check back in and see.
All right, but Brian, hold on. Brian, if everything is a small sample size, then let's not even talk about them until week 10. We'll fold up the radio station for the next 5 weeks, and week 10 we'll talk about them.
Easy, we're not 2 games in. We're 6 games in, bro. We're 6 games.
Example, I think you're allowed to talk about it, but also temper your expectations.
I think we are. Hold on. Who's talking Super Bowl here?
Isaiah. I think Isaiah said 11.
Well, Isaiah's crazy. All we're saying, Brian, is this. All we're saying is that I wasn't actually listening when Isaiah was talking.
There's no way.
Nobody would have mentioned Super Bowl. That's insane.
No, you were looking at 2016.
I know.
That's why he was talking.
Trying to fix the stupid stat page.
All right. So
Brian,
clarify how the 2016 Seahawks are going to do.
All right, let me get rid of this. 2016 team is going to be okay.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you tell us?
They're
going
to sneak into the playoffs when it's all said and done. Brian, I think there's a difference between saying this team is perfect and this team's ready to go to a Super Bowl and saying they're better than people thought they were going to be. They may not be in that elite group with the Rams and Saints and Patriots and Chiefs. Those four teams seem to be standing above everybody else, but they're very much in the next group of teams in this league right now, don't you think?
I would say yes. They're in the second tier, which is well below the first tier. And when you say it in such clear, measured tones, I'll ratchet my back my pessimism and say, yeah, they're an average to slightly above average team in a weak conference, and they'll be fun to watch. I'll give Brock this. Yes, when they take away the ball, even from the Raiders, who, for whatever reason, don't feel like blocking for their quarterback, which is fun to watch when you're rooting for the other team, you're going to get takeaways, and you're going to be fun to watch. But I just don't like the callers, Isaiah, no disrespect. I mean, the piping hot optimism I just don't think is warranted based on what we're seeing on the field.
Has Brian been in the top?
Congratulations. Yeah, there you go. You've made the top 5.
Top 5 kind of call, Brian, but here's my question for you.
Comeback. He's back.
Here, I just got one question for you, Brian, before
okay.
we move
yeah.
on. You
All
said
right.
that those four teams are truly elite and they're head and shoulders above everyone else. How do you know? It's a small sample size.
Oh, my God. You just caught me in my own logic. All the teams are just as good as each other, Mike. Congratulations.
Thanks, Brian.
Go 2016 Seahawks.
appreciate the call. Good stuff from Brian. Brian and Bellevue bringing the heat today, Brock. Were you expecting that?
We have to send Howdy in for that board again.
I like that guy.
Yeah, I do too.
What do you think Brian is?
He's called before?
Is he a 20-something? What do you picture Brian right there? Is he in his work office?
I don't know.
Is he at home?
Has he called before?
He's been in the top 5.
He has?
Oh, he's been in the top 5.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Brock calling him Beasy right there. Going with the nickname of our former intern, Brian. He's so familiar.
He likes him and knows him so well. You just call him Beasy. All right. Hey, we got to give away these tickets, Brian.
Oh, that's right.
Thankfully, we got a line or so open here. So here's the deal. The winner is Bradley Davis. Bradley Davis won by visiting the 710 ESPN Seattle page on Instagram. And Bradley has 5 minutes to give a call right now to 206-421-3776 in order to win 2 tickets to go see the Seahawks and the 2018 version of the LA Chargers. So there you go. Not the 2016 version. You can see the 2018 version. Got to call 206-421-3776. You have until 8:23 to do it. So you got 5 minutes to call 206-421-3776. Bradley Davis. If you are Bradley, call in. And if you know Bradley, make sure you tell Bradley to call in because he's won. 206-421-3776. It's a boy. I grew up with a girl named Bradley. So who
did
knows?
You? Yeah. Your win total before the season began, before this team went to Denver, your win total was?
I think I started the year at where was I? 8 or 9, something
eight or
like
nine.
That.
And are you 8 or 9 right now?
Well, I'm probably.
Small sample size, I know. We're 40% of the way through, but.
I'm probably at 9 or 10 right now. I just think they're playing well. And I think I agree with Brian. I think the NFC is pretty mediocre. So, Yeah, you know, they're going to have to play the Rams one more time. They're going to play a couple of good teams. They got to play Kansas City. They look like a pretty
You're just going to play. Here's the biggest danger to me, and why I would say I was 6 to 10 on a sliding scale before the year.
Oh, that's a daring
closer
pick.
Closer to
6. 6 to 10. Closer, way to go out on a limb.
Closer to 6 after that Denver game, maybe a little. I don't know if I've never gotten to 9 or 10. I think this is going to be a 7 or 8 win team because I think what's coming up here, and I don't think we're going to say, oh, this is such an average and slappy league when you see the elite guys play the quarterback position. When you see Matt Stafford, when you see Phillip Rivers, when you see Aaron Rodgers, when you see Mahomes, when you see the guys that, you know, can just take you apart through the air, which you've not really seen this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jared Goff has some of that, but they're the number one rush team, right? And they do a lot of things. And even in that game, he had his way. He had 300 yards on first down, for crying out loud. He had wide open people everywhere. And and they were able to throw it all over the yard. So I think once I've got to see them against that phase of it. I've got to see this young secondary. I've got to see Ken Norton and trust them a little bit more than what I saw in that Rams
game.
Fair.
And that's why I said, to me, they're playing with house money. Like I now think that they're capable of doing more than I thought at the beginning of the year, and I like the direction they're going, but I don't have the same sort of desperate expectation that I did the last few years of them trying to hang on to the dynasty. I think they're playing with some house money, and we'll see what they're able to do with that. But I like the vibe.
Yep.
I like the energy they're playing with.
I
like how much Coach Carroll likes what they're doing. He loves this team.
I kind of like this team more than I have the last few years. Is that okay?
No,
I just like that there's new stories and new guys. New and fresh.
I like it too. I can really feel it. I was talking to Vrabel the other day at the stadium, I guess, and he said he senses it in me. You know, that he said, geez, you're all fired up. Well, yeah, I am. It's just because of who they are and the way they're going about it. And you can see the future. You know, we've done this before, you know, and these guys are going to take us a long ways.
We've done this before, and these guys are going to take us a long ways,
seer,
man.
Mike. He's a seer.
Wow, that's a pretty powerful statement, Brock.
Focus on that part. I got the first part.
Absolutely. We've done this before, and these guys are going to take us a long ways?
Yeah.
That's really, I don't know.
There's one other really encouraging element that we've not talked about in 21 minutes, and even Isaiah over there with the Miners Burgers in Yakima hasn't talked about. I think the really other encouraging element are the fans.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to play a lot of games at home, and we all knew it over the last few years. It wasn't the same team. It wasn't the same juice. It wasn't the same. Yeah, it was desperation. It was holding on. It was angst. It was anxiety. It was even anger at times in the stands. That thing has turned.
Yep.
That script is flipped. You felt it in the Rams game. You felt it in London. You felt it against the Cowboys. The impact and buying, you know, as Isaiah said, being able to play at home and actually have an advantage where some of that dissipated over the years, you know, this team will really, really need as well.
And I hope that continues, Brock, because otherwise, you know, they may end up moving to another city. At least that's what USA Today is warning us of. 206-421-3776. Let's grab who you want. Chad? Chad and Anacortes? What's up, Chad?
Sure.
Chad.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, dude?
Hey, I Brian kind of set the stage for the analytical statistician side of things, and I'm going to come in with the artist, how I feel about the team. I definitely get a feeling like the 2012 season where, you know, you see a team on the rise and not having those expectations where, you know, if it's not a Super Bowl win, it's a lost season. And I kind of get that feeling where there just isn't the same expectation, but we also have a lot to hang our hats on and seeing young guys coming up and really stepping up to the plate. So that's exciting as a fan to see guys buying in wholeheartedly.
Oh, and it's exciting as a radio host to have artists, to have analytics, to have historians like Salk going to 2016. We basically have it all covered.
If there's anything you need to know about the 2016 NFL, Brock, I am now very learned on the subject, and I am happy to dazzle you with my knowledge.
But he hits on from Anacortes right there some of your thought of just being free.
I want to focus on that here in a minute. I want to focus on some of the fun factor, because you bring something up, as did the caller there, that I think is a big part of where we're at. Let me remind everybody that Bradley won. Congratulations to Bradley. He called in right away. Good job, Brad. You are the winner. He is going to go see the Seahawks and Chargers by visiting 710 ESPN Seattle page on Instagram. You can always win tickets after every Pete Carroll show by going to 710sports.com/win. More next. Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. State of emergency in Pullman. Lydia flinches every time I say that. Well, at least that's what they've declared in order to get some extra money for buses, etc. But they're going to be an enormous number of people descending upon Pullman. Danny, Dave, and Moore among them. They'll be doing the show there tomorrow from the RV lot. Kyle's RV is going to be packed full. If you missed any of that, there is quite the battle of former Cougs to get in there. And we'll replay that for you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Can I add one other little a piece of news?
Sure.
To that? A friend of mine may have shared something that wasn't necessarily supposed to be in the total public forum that everybody ran with last night. And I think there's very good odds that indeed Clay is going to be the guest picker.
Wow, Dave Pash screwing up last night on the broadcast. Just full out said that.
Of all the conversation we had about different possibilities, a few of those guys, in fact, that called to try to jump in Kyle's camper were possibilities. It ends up, looks like it's going to be Clay.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
It's going to be a great moment. All right, 206-421-37.
You may even get up for it.
I'm not saying that, but I might DVR it.
Okay.
206-421-3776. Kyle, when you go there, I just last question on this. So Friday night, like you guys all are in the camper, you and Drew Bledsoe and Mike Leach and everybody else, plus all your
classic
friends.
Rock, popcorn,
right.
Movies.
You're drinking Busch Lights with
Eating
Drew
brisket.
All night.
Toback.
After that, do you wake up?
Oh, man.
Do you wake up at 6 to go over to the
trying to figure this out.
To the game day set?
What are we going to do? So I'm assuming the students are going to just stay up all night.
Because you're not, though.
No, I'm not. I couldn't do it. Especially I'm going to be
that.
Up early. So
what are, and I understand, like, old people like Pridemore, he'll have no problem going to bed early enough if he wants to go over at 6. He wakes up at 4:30 every morning anyway. So what are you going to do? You're in that sweet spot in between where you can't stay up all night.
It's going to be
but you can't get up at 6.
4 hours of sleep before the show and 4 after.
Oh.
So then I'll probably nap again from, like,
what time's
10
the game?
To 1. Game's at 4:30.
Oh, okay. But then from 10 to 1, you think?
Maybe like 10 to noon.
It's so like a quick 2-hour nap, and then you got to wake up. And
in
like,
all
and
reality,
pregame?
We'll probably finish the show, walk straight to the Coug, stay up all day, fall asleep at like 3, and be like, oh no, we screwed it all up.
Decent chance you miss the game.
Yeah.
Now,
it's been known to happen.
You remember there is somebody sitting in that space around you that hosted game day, right? Wasn't there somebody in there that's maybe sitting next to you, Kyle? That didn't he play a big role, like hosting the radio aspect of game day?
He did. Yeah, Howdy was the. Don't you remember?
Howdy
was like
he's the master of ceremonies,
hype man for game day when they came to UW, right?
Yeah, UW. They called me out. They specifically requested that I come out and proctor their breaks during their TV broadcast.
Proctor. That was a good moment. I kind of forgot about that.
They said that it was the best emceeing they'd ever seen.
Who said
in
that?
A broadcast?
Who said that?
They did.
The royal they?
ESPN said that.
ESPN. Wow, that's amazing. Did they release that through a spokesperson?
They just said it right to me.
Oh, yeah, go figure. All right, 206-421-3776. We've just been taking your calls on just some of the legitimacy of the Seahawks team and your belief level where it's at right now. Brock, mine's high. It's not incredibly high. It's not like, all right, start printing Super Bowl tickets and make plans for the first weekend in February.
I'm landing on 8, okay? If I was 6 to 10, I'll just stay right there, and I'll say at 3-3, this team's going to win one.
They haven't changed your view at all.
They're going to win 2. They're going to lose 1. They're going to win 1. They're going to lose 2. Yeah, I think this is an 8-8 team, possibly 9-7, but just as much possible 7-9 as 9-7. But I think about 8-8.
Is it the lack of a pass rush that keeps you there?
I know.
Same
and,
here. That's tough. The lack of a pass rush is like the one thing that holds this team back.
And in November, in December, in those games, as teams get thinner, you know, these college teams the same way. Right, I mean, Washington is decimated on their D-line. Stanford's got no D-line. These teams, even at the college level, those guys get beat up over the course of a season. And, it's going to be, I think, a challenge against the elite guys that they will face at the QB position, the franchise quarterbacks that are looming up on this schedule.
But, Brock, you make it sound like they're the only team that's going to get beat up. I mean, let's remember, Minnesota's been bad so far, mediocre so far this year. So is Green Bay. Those teams haven't been very good.
Yep.
Right? I mean, Kansas City is sort of the one team that has.
Yep. And you're going to have to run, and you're going to have to control the game, which is why I love their philosophy, which is why I love you shorten the game, you shorten the possessions. It's what you did as much as possible against the Rams, even though they didn't punt, or they punted one time in 4 quarters.
Yeah.
and you had to play the game that style and match them and match them and match them and shorten the game. And that's what you're going to have to do against the Rivers and the Rodgers.
I think they're going to end up winning 10 games. I think they end up getting into the playoffs. But obviously, you know, that changes week to week based on injuries and how other teams are playing. But taking a look at a snapshot today, I think they're a 10-6 team that can find their way into the postseason. 206-421-3776. David's been hanging on a while. David, good morning. Sorry about that.
Good morning, guys. Go Cougs. Actually, I'm stunned at how they're doing this year. If you look at the start of the season, this is a team that lost six Pro Bowl players, not over a period of seasons, but over one season. You had a total coaching change, and five of the first seven games on the road. I think this team is performing remarkably, and I think that's a note to Pete Carroll right there.
Hey, can we just ask a quick question on that? Because I remember that stat a lot. We probably should have asked this months ago. What was it, six Pro Bowl players that departed in the offseason? Is that right, six?
Yeah. Well, if you throw in K.J. Wright, you know, he hasn't played all year.
How many of them were Pro Bowlers last year?
Well, you got to look at Chancellor. You got to look at Bennett. You got to look at
were those guys Pro Bowlers Sherman? Last
well, they
year?
Were alternates that kind of got called up. I don't think Cam was because he was injured. He was out of the game.
Bennett and Sherman and basically Thomas. You know,
I gotta go back and look at how many of those guys were actually Pro Bowlers last year, because I feel like that stat kept getting thrown around about how many Pro Bowlers
well,
they
if
lost.
We know one thing, you're a historian. I mean, go look for it.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you tell us about their 26?
The one thing that I wanted to say is, you know, you guys were talking in the last segment about which teams are the best against the run. I think that's probably a worthless statistic in the NFL now because everybody's geared to throw the ball, and you got to look at who they've played, what type of backs they are. I think Seattle this year has a distinct advantage over a lot of teams because a lot of these teams, I don't know, maybe Brock can add in on this, have geared their defenses towards the pass, small pass rushers, smaller linebackers.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you got Seattle running in here with this massive offensive line, three great running backs, and then you throw a Pro Bowl quarterback on top of that.
Yep.
I think it's kind of like back in college where, you know, teams play these spread offense, all of a sudden Navy comes in and runs their triple option and drives
point,
these
David,
teams crazy.
Yeah, it's a really good phone call. Not quite top five, but close. I think receiving votes, and thanks for hanging on so long. You make a bunch of excellent points. Yeah, as you were talking, I do think of Jacksonville last year. And the difference is Jacksonville had Saxonville, right? 55 sacks and a D-line that was so dominant, but they have Blake Bortles. So where you don't have a dominant defensive line, you've got a franchise quarterback, but your style, like Jacksonville, hit people in the mouth a year ago and took them all the way to the cusp of a Super Bowl. You know, that's the style that you are absolutely employing and going in as all in on that philosophy as anybody in this league.
I got some information from Kyle here, Brock, and we'll come back to the calls in just a sec. So Kyle says that there were four Pro Bowlers from the Seahawks last year.
The original selections.
Wilson, Graham, Earl, and Bobby.
Yep.
So two of those guys are back.
Three of them were back.
Okay. Obviously, Earl's not playing now. And the other was Jimmy Graham, who I think everyone in the world agreed was not a good fit here.
Yep.
I mean, so like, all right, fine. They had all these important guys leave, but they weren't playing that way when they left.
Correct.
Yes, Michael Bennett had been a Pro Bowler. Yes, Richard Sherman had been a Pro Bowler, but they weren't playing at necessarily a Pro Bowl level when they left. Cliff Avril had been a Pro Bowler and he was gone, but he wasn't a Pro Bowler last year, right? I mean, Cam Chancellor was, you know, in some ways the same player, but in some ways not.
Yep.
So I love the fact that they were willing to make some of those big decisions and big changes in the offseason, and some got made for them. I understand that. But gosh, when you bring back kind of the style that they brought back, I think that just ends up trumping some of the specific Pro Bowl names that were more names than they were contributors at that point.
And you're seeing that with Bennett's game and the non-existence of it in Philly, some of the struggles that Richard has had to stay on the field, the huge penalty to lose the game last week. Jimmy Graham finally had an explosive play for the first time all season last week. It's not like those guys have left and played at a Pro Bowl level in their new home, nor anywhere near that.
All right, let me grab Steve, the Dallas dude, because he hung on yesterday. I didn't get a chance to talk to him. Steve, what's going on, my man?
Hey, man, how you guys doing?
Awesome.
Hey, a couple things. Pete Carroll got back to the basics, and the basics was picking up the young, hungry rookies that were ready to play and listen to what he had to say, because in the end, it's his actual philosophy that, you know, sets the tone and wins the game. And two, last week, I saw you, Mike, but I didn't want to bug you. You were eating lunch with somebody.
What? Why didn't you come say hi?
Whoa.
Where was I?
You were in a meeting.
At Mammoth?
You look like you were in meetings.
Oh, in Redmond?
I was standing at the counter. I was delivering. I was wearing the blue with the bright stripes.
Dude, why didn't you point
Dude, I can't believe you didn't come say hi. I'm so disappointed,
Steve. I said hello to Steve. He didn't introduce himself to me.
Steve,
why don't you introduce yourself
I didn't,
to him?
I was in a meeting. I didn't see
whatever,
him.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Steve, I am so disappointed. I wish you'd come say hi. Next time, please do, okay?
I will. Hey, right. Thanks, you guys, for always taking my calls.
There you go. I love Steve the Dallas Dude. One of my favorites. One of my favorite. I'm bummed out about that now.
Well, go out of your way.
No, I was talking. I was like, Steve, you guys should have said hi.
Yes, of course.
He's like, oh, it looked like he was like talking business, and I didn't want to interrupt that. I would have said hi, but it looked kind of serious.
Oh, no.
He always looks intense like that. He's such a historian.
Are you done?
No.
Are you leaving now, or are you in till 9 o'clock?
I'm here for the next segment, pal.
All right. Good. Well, last time you left early, I thought you were in for good news, bad news, no news.
Right.
I came back, started talking to you, and you weren't there.
Good news for you, I'm in.
Thank God. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, good news, bad news, no news every morning at 8:45. We got some special surprises, people coming in for the 9 o'clock hour. It'll be a fun and freewheeling conversation. Right now, though, what's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Multiple NFL owners say they expect the Seahawks will go up for sale, but they will not move from Seattle.
Yeah, this is no news. We led the show with it. You'll probably come back with it in 12 minutes or so. This is absolutely no news. The Seahawks will not leave this market. This is a flourishing, robust team, facilities, fan base, valuation, not going anywhere. But I would probably tend to agree with Jerry and Jim Irsay. I think there will be new ownership outside of the Allen family.
All right, and that is huge news. It remains to be seen what kind of news that part is. But unfortunately, the likelihood is that it's bad news. And only because of how great Paul Allen was. I mean, we talk about this all the time. You can't say that somebody's the best and then expect that the next person to replace them is going to be as good, if not better. The odds are that anybody who replaces Paul Allen will be at least in some way not as good as he was as an owner. That's a bummer, but doesn't mean it's going to be a serious problem. We'll wait and see. It's a long-term issue, not a short-term one. This idea that this, of having to even comment on whether the Seahawks are going to stay in Seattle, it's not even, it's made-up news. It's fabricating a story where there is none. The Seahawks have a 10-year lease left on CenturyLink Field. They have a jewel of a building, an incredible fan base, and a top market. There's no chance of them going anywhere.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Brewers pulled Wade Miley after throwing a 5-pitch walk. Just 5 pitches in the whole game of the NLCS.
Wade Miley.
Well, it's weird news, but it's kind of no news. This was their plan all along, right? They wanted him to face the first batter, and then they want him to start game, what, 6 of the series? So this was always the plan with Wade Miley. Is this just that they wanted
It's a reverse opener?
I think what they wanted is just to trick the Dodgers into playing their lefties or their righties, and then and then come back with a righty. Right?
I don't know.
That's how I read it. Like, oh, okay.
That's pretty interesting.
That's all what I think. I think they were just messing with the Dodgers, got them to change their lineup, and then made a change after that. But it didn't work. They got beat.
All I know is I love John Smoltz, but I worry for him. With the shifts, with these pitcher openers, with everything else, he just sees the game dying, just dying on the vine, and it's just killing him. So for that, bad news, because I love John Smoltz. I think he's an excellent analyst, and he just can't handle this.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Peyton Manning has agreed to host a new film breakdown show on ESPN.
Oh my gosh.
Who was that?
Can we just do a different piece of news? Poor Lydia Cruz is incredibly sick and probably needs to go home.
What was that?
Poor Lydia. Lydia.
Go home.
Oh, no, she's just sad.
Who's keeping you there? You need to get...
Who won't let her leave?
Nope.
Get under your covers.
Seriously.
Get your book. Go sleep. Get some chicken noodle.
Don't you dare leave.
Get out in the garden. Howdy. Get some vitamin E.
How could you say that to Lydia?
You better work.
You can't see her. Like, you could hear her, poor and she sounds sad, but poor Lydia looks so sick.
By the way, great news for Peyton. Great news. Getting in the door at ESPN.
I think it's great. How did he find a way in there? I mean, the thing that's so crazy about this story is that ESPN's never liked Peyton Manning. They've always sort of like...
got in the door, Brock?
Yeah, they've always...
Like, Peyton finally got his foot in the door?
At ESPN.
His shot. Now go get it, buddy.
He finally got his chance.
Go get it, little buddy.
He finally showed ESPN who he was. Like,
yeah.
He proved himself deserving of the opportunity.
No, that's terrific.
Ridiculous.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Howdy is like being a stickler about this. He says he works through everything, and Lydia must too.
Just because you work through your bowling ball-sized gallbladder stone.
That was gross.
Klay Thompson is expected to be the guest picker at game day in Pullman, where it is a state of emergency.
No news.
Why no news?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. So he's going to come and make a pick? That's news?
He picks like 12 games.
So he's going to take a private jet after the Warriors play the Nuggets Friday. He goes straight to Pullman, get back on his private jet, fly out.
Well, that's Wheels Up, baby.
Wheels Up. Okay,
that's
sorry.
Wheels Up flies in the guest picker.
Is that your sponsor? You got to plug that?
What? No, I'm just saying it's game days. That's what they do. That's how they do it.
There's going to be a lot of private planes in Pullman this year. Because Phil Knight will be there. Herb Street flies in and out private. Clay's going to be on his jet.
So that's three.
Yeah.
That's probably more than there's normally in Pullman.
Usually we get crop dusters.
Great news.
There's going to be jets.
Any chance that any of them will fly in on a crop duster?
I just want Clay to have some juice. Just be up, get going. It's hard for NBA dudes. It's going to be early
we'll
at 8.
Juice.
At 8:45.
I will say this. The news will be, how excited the Wazoo fans will be. I remember when Klay Thompson won a buzzer beater in the CBI and they stormed the court.
That was cool.
The idea of getting him back on campus is going to be huge.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Safeco Field is turning into an ice skating trail this winter.
A trail?
Did you see this all?
No.
Really?
What do you mean a trail?
Like, instead of just a big circular rink, you skate down a kind of a winding trail that kind of snakes through the outfield.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. Way to go, Safeco.
I'm all in on that. I'm going to go to that for sure.
Yeah, you are.
Yes.
And you're going to learn to go backwards.
I can't. I keep trying.
And you're going to say to the Martinez and Mather, like, watch me.
I can't do it. My body won't perform the necessary movements to make me go backwards on skates. It's so frustrating.
So awesome.
That's a cool idea.
That is
good news. Very cool. All right, that's good news, bad news, no news. Of course, we do that every single morning at 7:45.
Anyway, ready to come over there and hang out with my little buddy.
All right, thank you, Mike Leach. If you missed any of that, that will be coming up here in the next 30 minutes, I promise. Mike Leach and others clamoring for a spot in Kyle's camper. The sound you won't believe actually exists. All coming up here on Brock and Salk.